Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for all of your blessings. Lord, you have given us way more than we ever deserve, and I pray that you would give us thankful hearts for that. Lord, I pray that you would prepare us to hear from you, the living word, today. I pray that as we see you in the pages of Scripture, we would do whatever you ask of us, we would obey. Lord, prepare our hearts for communion, which we will be taking later on in this service. Lord, if there is anything in our lives that is keeping us at odds with you, whether it's sin we need to confess, or worries that we're harboring, or anything that's distracting us from you, Lord, I pray that we would bring it all to you right now. Lord, we want you at the center of attention here. And Lord, we know that you are at work all around the world. We thank you for our global partners, the Reed family serving in Spain. Lord, I pray that you would give them strength and joy as they work with Freedom in Christ Ministries and in, I think, about 10 different countries. Lord, there's much traveling involved, much effort working with different cultures, different languages. Yet I pray that you would show yourself strong and that many would find their freedom in Christ in Europe, but also right here in our midst now. Lord, I pray that you would give us all a heightened awareness of your presence and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. Great to see you. You know, one of the great things about being a Christian is God gives us his word, and the scriptures say this: your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the wonderful thing about this is that decision-making is easy as a Christian. Whenever you got to make a decision, no problem. You know exactly what to do. Whenever hard circumstances happen to you in life, no problem. You're a Christian. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. There's a distinction between the lamp and the light. The lamp is what you would hold down like this to show you step by step what you need. And God says you'll give that to us. The light is kind of like that searchlight picture. It shows you what's a little bit further ahead down the road. We all need direction in life. What college should I go to? What job should I take? Who should I marry? What should I do now? What about this? It should be so simple because God promises to guide us through his word. But to be honest with you, at least I know in my case, when decision-making comes or hard circumstances, it looks more like this. What do you do? Oh, no, panic. We want that heavenly skywriting to appear, which says, go ahead. Yes, do this. Go to that college. Take this job. This is who you're supposed to marry, whatever it might be. But this is what our experience looks like. This seems to be the reality of life. Why is that when it seems so crystal clear that we have the lamp to our feet and the light to our path? Well, you know, I find, speaking for myself, and maybe some of you share this, that we really don't use God's word as well as we ought to be using it. You see, we can tend to treat God and his word like a lucky charm. It's a magic lamp for when we need direction. Now! But God wants us to swim around in his word and not just jump in and jump out. God wants us to stay for a while, to stick around, because that's where you're going to hear his voice. But I know so often I don't hear his voice as much as I'd like to. So what are some of the hindrances to getting into this book? Because it's from this book that we hear the voice of God. You know, Bible reading is a lot like gym membership. You know, I saw a statistic that come March, 67% of gym memberships will be discarded or not used. 67%, that's two-thirds. I think many of us are like that with Bible reading plans. We can all say, okay, it's a new year. I'm going to make it through the Bible. And you go strong through Genesis. There's a lot of cool stories. You're chugging along. You're thinking, yeah, I've got it. And then you get into some of the nitpicky laws in Leviticus or Numbers, and you kind of slow down, and it's just like a gym membership. Why don't we hear from God's word? We don't dive into it the way we should. Well, it's confusing. There's a lot of stuff in it. That's true. I'm not a reader. There are ways around that. You can get an audio Bible. We're impatient. Wait a minute. You're telling me I've got to make a decision right now and I've got to find the answer in this book? There's just no way. Come on, God. I'm doing my two-minute devotional. I want three easy applications each day. Guys, think about it. Speed dating might be a great way to meet someone, but it's no way to maintain a relationship. Yet we think that we can speed date God. You know, there might be times when we read the Bible and God doesn't give us an easy application for that day. That's fine, because he might just be preparing us for something ahead that we're not aware about. God is saying, look, you can't see it right now, but I'm preparing you for something you aren't aware of. Just soak in my word. Marinate in it. We get distracted. We hear too many voices. You ever been in a conversation and it's frustrating because you can't get a word in edgewise? You're trying to talk, but Johnny Speak Fast kind of just zips in right ahead of you, and you just kind of feel like you're standing on the outside by it. We live in a busy area. We're on information overload. You know how often maybe some of you pick up your Bible and you got your Twitter feed beside you, you got Facebook on your computer over here, and before you're going like that, and you can't keep up. It's distracting when you hear a lot of voices. For some of us, maybe we think, you know, this is kind of cool. It's nice religious writings, and yeah, I'm supposed to believe it, but I just don't know. You know, Newsweek, just a couple of weeks ago, came out with an article basically ridiculing the Bible. But I would say it was a ridiculous article, and we'll talk more about it in the first service next week. We can trust the Bible. We need to go beyond all these reasons and hear from God. But you know, it's almost like we lose our Bibles between Monday and Saturday. Well, I'm kind of on my own. God really doesn't get what I'm doing. You know, that's good for religion. But you know, it reminds me of a time in history when God's people actually lost God's word. How much sense does that make? You heard it right. God's people lost God's word. You can turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. 2 Chronicles, if you're having trouble finding it, it's right after 1 Chronicles. A lot of help that is. Now, it's the 14th book in the Bible. And here's what is going on. God's people actually lost God's word. Kind of didn't make sense. God's people losing his word, you'd think they'd kind of be attached at the hip. But that didn't happen. Let me give you the context. God's people were kind of on a downhill slide. They'd been walking further and further away from God, and it was only God's mercy that he didn't say, that's it, I'm done with you all. They had had 55 years reign of the worst king in their history, Manasseh. This guy basically made it law that you've got to worship the other gods and do all these gross practices that were going on in the culture of that day. God's people went along with it and walked away from God. People didn't turn to his word. No one was hearing from him. After 55 years, Manasseh died, and then his son Amon took over. And he was pretty much as bad, and he only lasted 2 years. But then, kind of a sunrise along the horizon, Josiah is born. Josiah is Manasseh's grandson. And something happened in him that made him different than his predecessors. Josiah, at a young age, and I'm really pleased that we've got fifth grade on up in here, because I want you to hear this. Josiah, at a young age, set his heart to follow God. And it changed everything. Josiah started a series of reforms. He said, country, I am the king, I'm the leader. I am following the God who made us. I am following the God that we are supposed to worship, and I want you to come along with me. And something stirred in the people, and they said, yeah, we're in. We'll go for it. And they started rebuilding the temple. They started fixing up their church building. They started straightening it out, and then something amazing happened. Verse 14 of chapter 34 says this: while they were bringing out the money that had been bought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. Now just cut through the religious jargon there. Imagine this. They were counting the offering money in the temple, and one of the guys discovered God's word. Can you imagine if Phil and Blake, after collecting the offering here, go back and they get it counted, and then one of them goes, hey, what's this book? Hey, this is a Bible. And kind of runs back in here, say, hey, guys, this is the Bible. This is the book we're supposed to be using. It sounds kind of crazy, but it's true. That's what happened. Hilkiah goes, this is God's word. This is the game changer that we need. And things went from heading in the right direction to just going great. The Bible is God's word, and we need to hear from it. And it's amazing to hear what happened once the people discovered God's word and put it to use. Once people discovered God's word and heard from God. Once people discovered God's word and said, we're going to let it change us. We're going to do what this book says. And I just real quickly want to go through three things that jump out in this passage. When King Josiah started leading the country in the right direction and they discovered the word of God. Move along to verse 19. It says, when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. And later on, just a couple verses later, it says, go and inquire of the Lord for me. Find out what we need to do. Now, when he tore his clothes, that was just a random thing. That was very significant. In that culture, when a person tore their clothes, they were in deep mourning. And Josiah was saying, this is what we've missed out on. I want to get back on track, and I am going to lead the way. I mourn that I haven't followed God as I should because I haven't known what I was supposed to do. He was transformed. First of all, the word of God transforms us. Now, you need to know that when you read scripture, you do want to fill your head with some knowledge. That's important. But that's not the end goal. That's not the end game. I pray, particularly the younger you are, that you just accumulate God's word in your mind. You've got a lifetime to process it. But God wants us to do so much more than just collecting knowledge. God's word is also not just chicken soup to warm our soul. It's the word of God. He wants to change you through his word. He wants to speak to you. You see, so often we come to God and we say, okay, God, I've got this decision I need to make, and here's kind of what I want to do. I'm hoping that if I open this book, you will give me the magical verse, and it will show me exactly what I am supposed to do. But we all find out that it doesn't work that way. When we open this book, God may say, you are coming here with this plan, but I actually have another plan for you, and I want to change you. Surprise. But if you read this book, you will see that you can trust me, you can get to know me better, and you will see that my plans are far better than your plans. And God says to us, you know, the plans that I have for you are so much better than the plans you have for yourself. What you read in scripture is really what you want. Will you trust me for it? God wants us to read his word. Not just to dive into it for quick answers, but to soak in his word, to get to know him so you can trust him. And then the interesting thing is the more you think like God, the more you're going to start acting like God. I remember years ago, this was a really long time ago, I was in high school. But it's something that stands out to me after all of these years. I was wrestling at South Lakes High School just a few short years ago, and it was a right around this time of year, and we had a Christmas tournament. Now, if you know any wrestlers in your life, they're the most miserable people on the planet right around Christmas season, because you usually have Christmas tournaments, which means you have to make weight, but everyone else around you is eating all kinds of Christmas goodies, and you can't. This is my junior year. I was feeling miserable. I had to lose like 3 pounds by noon that day if I even wanted to make it, and the penalty for not making it was you don't even want to think about it. So that was not good. I had a nagging injury. I was unhappy, but I'd been challenged. Hey, you know, in our youth group, read the Word of God and talk to it with people. And I just started reading, and it was Psalm 34, and verses 4 and 5 stood out to me. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. Man, this is great. This is going to change everything. Well, the good news is I made weight for the tournament. The bad news is I had one of the worst tournaments of my career. Things didn't go well. My injury didn't get better. But you know, my perspective was changed, because so many things in life are really not that significant. What does matter is what God thinks about me. And the treasure that I got out of those bad times is that you can look to God and you will never be ashamed. Seek the Lord. He will answer you. He will deliver you from all your fears. No matter what you are facing in your life, maybe it's a hard decision, maybe it's difficult times you are going through, this is a promise God gives us. Those who look to him are radiant. You will be able to see through the trials you are going through, to know that God has something greater than you can ask or imagine. The question for us is, will we trust him for it? God transforms our minds through his word. He changes us. Too often we go to him saying, God, this is what I want, and I just want you to approve it and back up my desires based on your word. God says, no. You come to me, and I'll show you the right way and the better way. Second thing I see from this passage is that God reveals what he is like and how he thinks. And he does this so that we can trust him and so that we can think like him. In this passage, it talks about what is going to happen to the country if they don't follow God, if they choose not to be holy as he is holy. God reveals his character to us through his word. Now, I like elephants. Where did that come from? This will make sense, Lord willing, in a few minutes. Elephants are great. They're one of my favorite animals in the zoo, but elephants are bad news if you have a small car. So if you have a small car, never drive in a safari park. But I tell you about this because of elephants, something you will hear in pretty much any college philosophy class when you talk about different ways of life, different religions, is that, well, you just take four guys and you blindfold them and you have them walk into an elephant, and they're all going to say something different. So all the religions are different. You can end up believing whatever you want. One guy will walk into the elephant and he'll grab the trunk and he'll say, hey, this is a snake. Another guy will walk into the leg and you say, whoa, this is a tree. The third guy grabs the tail. Hey, this is a rope. And the fourth unlucky soul walks into its side and boom, this is a wall. And you hear that in philosophy class and you go, whoa. Man, maybe all these different views are right. But there's a problem with this illustration. Because in the case of Christianity, the elephant speaks. Now, what I mean by that is God speaks to us through his word. God tells us what he is like. He doesn't just leave us to stumble around and say, I think this, I think that. God says, no, I am going to tell you what I am like. I am going to tell you what you need for life. I am not going to leave you fumbling and stumbling around. I will tell you what you need to know. Will you pick up my book and read it? Because I will speak to you through this book. You see, the great thing is about God's word, if we really choose to soak in it, to marinate in it, God's way of thinking starts becoming our way of thinking. And we take a whole different approach to life. Can you imagine how things would change if we thought like God? If we had his perspective on things? But that'll never happen if we view God's word as something we jump into and jump out of. God says, I want you to read my word and soak in it and let my ways become your ways. We change as individuals. Our families will be transformed. Think of the difference we'd make in our communities, in our schools, in our workplaces, if God captured our minds and our hearts with his word. So how do you hear from God? A couple things come to my mind here. First of all, be intentional with God's word. Be intentional. I've said this before. Many of you all have heard it. You know, the idea if someone says, okay, I need to find out what I'm going to do here. So, okay, God, I've got this word right here. So here's what I'm counting on for directions. And Jude went out and hung himself. I don't want to do that. That's go and do thou likewise. This isn't my day here. Don't pick up God's word and just look at it randomly and think you're going to get something through the buckshot. Set aside the time and have a plan. Set aside the time, because it's so important that if you don't set aside the time, it ain't gonna happen. A TV show will come on, something else will come up that'll distract you. Set aside the time and have a plan. Now I'm gonna say something which may sound a little contradictory, but really it's a paradox. First thing, do you know that at the rate of between 3 and 4 chapters a day, which is about 15 minutes, you can read through the Bible in a year? That's not that big of a commitment. It really isn't. And I would encourage every follower of Christ, well, I would encourage everyone on the planet to do that, to see what God says about himself. Now, I admit, there are sections of Scripture which you may say, man, this is hard to understand. Or, whoa, I don't quite get the context. But there's gold in here. See, if you want to stay on the surface and just rake around with where you're comfortable, when you rake the surface, you get leaves. But when you dig, you get gold. It's worth the time to spend in God's word. If you haven't done it yet, I'd encourage you to read through the Bible in a year. I've put it right there. There's a link, BibleGateway.com, reading plans. There's multiple plans. You can read through the Bible in a year. You can read through it in 2 years. You can read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation like that, or you can read it through in the order that the books were written. All kinds of ways. I'd encourage you to do it. Having said that, I don't want this to become a legalistic thing where it becomes an unnecessary burden for you. Maybe you're at a different place in life and you're going to say, you know, I may not try to do the whole big sweep right away. I want to spend more time just reading this section of Scripture. That's fine. But my point is, have a plan. You've got to have something that you're aiming for in God's word. He wants to change us through his word. Listen to the Bible in your commute. Maybe just get an audio Bible and have that playing. Maybe when you're doing chores around your house. But be intentional in reading God's word. And then secondly, I'd say this. Talk to the author before you read the book. Talk to the author before you read the book. God wants you to know him. God isn't playing stump the chump with scriptures. He wants you to know him. So when you open the Bible, say, God, would you show me something about yourself? I shared this with the first service a couple weeks ago, but how does God direct us? I was thinking about when I would be moving on for seminary, and I was saying, Lord, I just need that answer which will tell me everything exactly about what's going to happen. And to be honest with you, my hang-up was, Lord, I want to know when I should go, where I should go, and then what's happening next. And God never gave me that answer. I never had that skywriting say, do this. And do it now. That never happened. But I will say this, in my regular reading through the Bible, I read a passage and it hit me like a lightning bolt. And it was in, and I'll just read this to you, it's from 1 Samuel chapter 16, and it was when King David was anointed as the king. Samuel was the prophet who was given the job of going to David and making him the king. It says this in 1 Samuel 16, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king.' But Samuel said, 'How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me.' The Lord said, 'Take your heifer with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate.' And Samuel did what the Lord said." And what struck me in this passage is when God gives us direction, he usually says, take this step. He doesn't say, hey, here's what's going to happen over the next 5 years, all right? Now you're safe and secure in that. But God says, this is the next step I want you to take. And Samuel was given that step. Go to Jesse. But wait a minute, the king might try to kill me. Just go to Jesse and then I'll tell you what to do. And Samuel did what the Lord said. And what struck me like a lightning bolt is, it's the right time in your life to go, Mark. And you don't know what's going to happen next, but I'll take care of you. And boom. And through a crazy set of circumstances over a number of years, different places, God has directed me here, and I'm just glad that he did. God will guide us through his word. He wants us to dive into it. But there's one more thing I want you to see from this story about Josiah and God's people. God's word should be a community project. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, and all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. God's word ought to be something we do together with friends. Yes, it's important that you read by yourself, but don't just keep it to yourself. Call a friend, read a chapter together. I'd love to do this with any of you. Tell you what, you give me a call and say, hey, Mark, let's read a chapter of the Bible together. We'll talk about it. Let's do it over coffee. I'll buy your coffee for you, okay? So call me. We'll do it. Join a life group. When you share what's going on in God's word, it's amazing. You know, every life group leader will say, yeah, I had this plan when I came and there are some things I wanted to share along the way. But different people will pipe up when they say, yeah, I saw this in the passage. And the life group leader says, wow, I didn't see that. Praise God for that. God is going to use our different experiences and different giftings to show us different things. I want to try something which is new for Cedar Run. We've got a hashtag now in Twitter. We don't have a Twitter handle yet. That'll be coming. But you can try this sometime. There's one reference in it. It's hashtag BibleCRCC, all right? There's one reference, and that's that verse I used this morning. But wouldn't it be cool if over the years, when you read something, you picked it up, you whatever your insight was, or maybe just the verse, you just want to plug that in. Put that in there and say hashtag BibleCRCC. Wouldn't it be cool over the upcoming months, over the upcoming years, to go back and read that and see what God is teaching us? There's all kinds of ways that we can share in this together. God transforms our minds. He tells us about himself. And he wants to use his word corporately with us. Student ministry, I'm glad you're here. Remember King Josiah. You are not too young to chase after God. He was 8 years old when he became king. By the time he was 16, he said, nation, this is the direction we're going. Maybe you're at a stage in your life where you've got some decisions to make. Or maybe you're even questioning, can I trust the Bible? All I say to you, dive into it. Scripture is more than capable of defending itself. God wants us to savor his word. It's not fast food to be inhaled at a drive-thru. It's at a banquet to be savored and enjoyed. Will you choose to read the Bible, not just to gain knowledge about the Bible, but to know the God who wrote it and stars in it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your word. Lord, I pray that we would be a people who don't just read it legalistically, but that we would be a people who love to get to know you better through your word. And Lord, as we prepare for communion now, thank you for sending Jesus, the living word, to die on the cross for us, to pay that penalty that we could never pay. Lord, prepare our hearts to take communion as we listen to these words. In Jesus' name, amen.